Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to ATP Radio
with Barry Nussbaum.
Welcome to ATP. Hello and welcome to ATP Radio. I'm your host, Barry Nussbaum. Before I introduce our special guest, let me give you our call-in number. You can call the number with your questions if you dial 516-595-8069 and press 1. We will have your questions and we will get to them when we have a minute. In the meantime, I want to tell you about our special guest today. He is Will Johnson, an internationally known celebrity in the world of social media. He is a conservative who has, to put it mildly, a very lengthy, full understanding of politics and the political scene in America today. He has hundreds of thousands of people who, on a consistent basis, love to watch and listen to Will Johnson. Unite America First is his platform, and when he does come on in a few minutes, we will be thrilled to share our questions with you. Today, we are going to talk about what everybody is talking about, which is the Supreme Court vacancy that came up just last week. And the reason why it's so important, quite frankly, is, as most people have now come to understand, the value of who sits in the White House is magnified many times by who that person, the President of the United States, appoints to the Supreme Court. While a term in the White House is at most 4 years, and then with re-election could be 8, a Supreme Court nomination is lifetime, and it is virtually impossible, if not highly improbable, to remove a Supreme Court justice. But in the case of the one that just vacated, sadly, we lost a great jurist in the name of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She died last week. She will be lying in repose in the Capitol. But while her funeral is delayed and she's not yet in the ground, the war has started, because the future of the Supreme Court slant, as it were, from liberal to moderate to conservative is at stake. And for those of you that remember 4 years ago, Donald Trump ran on a platform of quite literally transforming the court. Each president makes a special effort always confirm judges that reflect his, at least we've only had male presidents, his political slant. I remember being in college being told that the Constitution is there for all to read, all to understand, and all to apply, but the key word is the application. And the interpretation of what the Supreme Court decides becomes very personal and is interpreted through their political slant. No different than any half a dozen of us hearing the same story will know the facts if they are not in dispute, but our interpretation of what those facts mean transform what we decide dramatically from one side to the other. And the perfect example, quite frankly, and the one that most people cite, is the subject of abortion. The abortion rights that were confirmed by the Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade some decades ago changed America forever, at least up till now. And that's an example of a more liberal court interpreting what the constitutional rights are or aren't of the unborn in comparison to the mother and what the mother's interpretation of her rights are vis-a-vis her unborn child. Same constitution, same definitions of human rights, same certain inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and yet a different court comes up with a completely different interpretation as to what is life and who gets to decide. And that's a perfect example of what we're going to be talking about today, because the Supreme Court lost a jurist who had been there a very long time, originally appointed by Bill Clinton 3 decades ago, who believed very strongly in the right of a woman to choose what she does with her body and choose what is going on with what's inside her body. And that has been reinterpreted by lower courts and legislators across the country based on the Supreme Court guidance in the case I cited, Roe v. Wade, to include abortion up till, in some cases, birth. So for some of you who are listening today, that's an abomination. To other people listening today, that's a woman's right to choose. And those two differences based on the same facts are exactly what is facing the Supreme Court now. And with an open seat, can you imagine what will happen in the future if a conservative sits in that seat that was occupied by a very liberal, if not progressive, jurist in the name of Ruth Bader Ginsburg? How that might change on that subject. And that's exactly why they say, and many jurists say, quite frankly, the decision is completely up to the president to nominate. It is completely up to the Senate to advise, consent, and vote, yes or no. And that right for the president expires on the day he or she leaves office. So in the meantime, here's one of the things that I want you all to think about today. How does a president interview a prospective jurist and find out what he or she thinks their opinion might be on specific cases without talking about the cases? If you remember the hearing a few months ago, when Brett Kavanaugh was being interviewed, he refused to answer the Senate's questions on specific cases. And there's a precedence for that. And the precedence is you don't discuss cases that are not settled law. You can give certain hints. So the very liberal Democrats were pounding the hell out of him on where he was going to be on abortion, because that's their defining agenda for the Democrat Party. They want to preserve expansive, unlimited abortion rights, and the Supreme Court is the only body in the country that can affect that. On the other hand, the conservative wing, which is most of the Republican Party, wants a jurist on the other side. Right to life starts for some of them at conception, for some of them the first trimester, and they want restrictions on the previous decision, which is Roe v. Wade. Ironically, in spite of hundreds of hours of research on background, interviews with the president, hearings before the Judiciary Committee, not to mention the whole floor of the Senate, you end up with a judge like the Chief Justice, John Roberts, who has drifted left ever since he got on the bench. So, appointed by George Bush, everyone thought he was going to be a conservative. He was going to lead the right wing to the right to be more a traditional interpretation of the Constitution, and he has many times sided with the other side. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. independent judiciary means without oversight. All you could do, if you really wanted to, if somebody just went completely batshit crazy, is impeachment. And that is not on the agenda and never happens. But in the meantime, getting over the hurdle of getting appointed and then confirmed has gone from an automatic to something resembling a gang fight in the back streets of, say, Minneapolis, with firebombs and lasers and horrible name calling and fires burning down the city. And that's the way Kavanaugh was treated. And even in the case of somebody who should have been beyond repute, who had a stellar judicial record, who had a stellar family record, who had a stellar record with his church and volunteering and all the civic things he did, they, the opposition, were demonstrating in front of the Supreme Court absolutely no to blank even before Kavanaugh was nominated. Why? Because the nomination was coming from Trump. And ironically, on the other side, every single jurist nominated by a very, very liberal, progressive Democrat president in the name of Barack Obama sailed through. Virtually no dissent, virtually no attacks, nothing personal, nothing sexual, nothing about crimes committed like assault and rape and so on. And literally by the end, how Brett Kavanaugh could sit in those hearings with his wife and children behind him and not be breaking down in tears is admirable. And ironically, the ones before him that were nominated by Obama, very liberal justices, Justice Kagan, Justice Sotomayor, very left-wing, very progressive, with very specific agendas from the other side of the political spectrum, sailed right through. Why? Because the tradition in American politics has always been the president, once elected, has an agenda. His agenda was approved by the voters that put him in the Oval Office to sit behind the Resolute desk. And when the president makes a decision, I want this guy to be my Secretary of State, I want this gal to be my UN ambassador, and I want I or this gal to be on the Supreme Court, the Senate has almost always, with very few exceptions like Robert Bork some years ago, get confirmed. And sometimes there's a controversy, but 90% or 95% of the time people sail through. And once it became Trump as president, his two nominees, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, faced so much abuse, and the abuse literally started before they were named. Because if it has Trump attached to it, it goes back to the slogan, orange man, therefore everything he does is bad. And a perfect example on a corollary is outpouring of support from the Nobel Peace Prize Committee in Sweden. Trump now has two major nominations from delegates for the Peace Prize, and in the United States, he's looked at as the enemy of the people and gets no credit for the first person to create peace in the Middle East in 30 years. Do we have Will Johnson? Is Will here now?
I am here.
Oh, welcome aboard, Will. I've been talking about the Supreme Court, and I am dying to get your take on it. I'll just give a brief, quick reintroduction. I introduced you before you came on as literally one of my favorite hosts on social media from the conservative side. You have a tremendous following. You are listened to and watched by hundreds of thousands of people a week, and I'm dying to get your take on Ruth Bader Ginsburg and what's going to happen. So just to catch you up to date, since we've been chatting online here for a few minutes without you, Ruth Bader Ginsburg just passed last week. She was an associate justice of the Supreme Court from 93 until passing on the 18th of September. She was put on the court by Bill Clinton. She was viewed in the beginning as a liberal judge who eventually became a hero of the left and the far left. And within hours of her death being announced, a brawl has broken out in the United States as to who should sit in that empty seat on the court. Now there's eight, and it needs to go back to nine to be full. And more importantly, who should get to nominate the person to fill that seat, and when should it happen? So let's start with a first question for Will Johnson. Why is who sits in that seat, the ninth seat on the Supreme Court, so important to Americans today? And should it be this important or even more important?
Thank you for having me on with you, Barry. It's really an awesome honor. You know, I think it's extremely important that President Trump fills his seat. It's let me put it this way. The Democrats plan on using the court system, or they have used the court system to change any laws, rulings that they couldn't pass in Congress. So they would get it, push it to the court system, and because they had Ginsburg there, they could get a lot of things that they wanted passed. Prime example, during the Obama administration, where same-sex marriage came into play. They know they couldn't get it passed through Congress, so what did they do? They pushed it to the Supreme Court, and because they had people like Ginsburg there, they were able to pass it. Now that she's gone, the tables have basically turned, and the Democrats believe that they're about to lose so much more of all of the stuff that they were been able to do. They're losing so much power. And as far as how important it is, it's so important that President Trump fills this seat with a conservative Christian, my opinion, just conservative, a hardcore conservative, because this country will have the direction of positivity from here and for years to come. But that's how important it is, and the Democrats know this.
Will, you make a very astute point, which I want to follow up on. There is a traditionalist opinion of the Supreme Court, which was made quite popular through the writings and speeches of the late Judge Scalia, who passed some years ago. Gorsuch actually replaced him at the beginning of Trump's term. The concept that Judge Scalia pushed was being an originalist, meaning you don't take the Constitution and make law with it. That's an activist judge, which Scalia felt was constitutionally not just wrong, but legally improper. He believed very strongly in the words of the founders, which is you don't get to rewrite the Constitution. That's the legislature. And if the legislature can't figure it out, all the court is allowed to do is interpret the law before them with a strict analysis, word for word, from the Constitution. In other words, you don't get to make law because you disagree with the law that's before you. That is a very good point. And Trump wants the court to revert back to the way it was, which is strictly interpreting the Constitution, not making laws based on your own preference. You should be a judge, not a legislator, if you're sitting at the Supreme Court. Is that your point?
Yeah, exactly. But see, that's what the Democrats have done, or the far left, all the leftists. They've used the court system to make laws. And they're not supposed to be making laws. But for some reason, somehow, because the Democrats, they twisted so much stuff, they figured out how to do it. And that's where we are today. And I'm really looking forward to President Trump finding a hardcore conservative and possibly Christian. I mean, my personal preference would be a hardcore conservative Christian that loves this country, that will follow the law, you know, and go with the Constitution, and not someone who's just going to go off of their, you know, their feelings.
I'll tell you something. I would disagree with you on the religious background, simply because, not that I don't believe in God or religion, but in this country, the Constitution is such a brilliant document. If we could just get another jurist who just applies the principles of the Constitution, well, everything you want is there. Those people were very religious men who wrote that document. They all believed in it. And they believed very strongly that without a belief in God, the United States wouldn't work. That's not to say we have a state religion. We have a separation of church and state. But they believed the ethical and moral impetus came from above, not from what you see with the trees and the bushes and the lakes and the streams and so on. So, moving on. The big fight now is, should the president wait until after the election to nominate a potential replacement? And let me give some background. When Obama was in his last year, he promoted a judge to be nominated to the Supreme Court named Merrick Garland. And the Senate, which was not his party, the Senate was controlled by the Republicans, and obviously Obama, a very liberal Democrat, put up somebody that the Senate didn't want to consider, which is their prerogative. They would have voted him down had they voted, because Obama had nowhere near the votes to do it. And so now they're throwing that back in the face of Trump, saying, this is an election year, you shouldn't get to nominate someone. Well, I looked this up. You ready for some facts? In the history of the United States, 19 judges have been nominated to the Supreme Court in an election year, presidency and the Senate's the only one that gets to vote on this, were from the same party. 19 times it's happened. 17 times in American history, the nominees have made it to the Supreme Court. 17 were confirmed. That's 90%. Why do the Democrats want to fight this 90% tradition and say, it's an abomination, it's a destruction of the country, if Trump gets the nominee?
You know, if you don't mind, I'd like to go back just real quick, briefly. The reason why I brought up the Christian conservative is because I believe that person will reverse Roe versus Wade to save lives. That's the only reason why I'm bringing it in. But for the most part, I completely agree with you. If we can get someone to just follow the law and go with the law, I mean, I really wouldn't care. But that's the reason why I bring that up. But
okay,
as far
enough.
As – so and I'm kind of curious as far as out of that 90%, you know, how many of those that were confirmed during the election year was it a Democrat Senate and a Democrat president? You know, that's something that I'm kind of curious about as well, because I would imagine, it would be something if majority of those were Democratic nominees, you know, so the Democrats, but anyways, regardless of all of that, even Ginsburg mentioned, this was in 2016, if I'm not mistaken, that the president is the president for 4 years, not 3 years. So during the election year and the president wants to nominate someone for the Supreme Court, that person, he should be able to do that. He's not president for 3 years. He's president for the 4 years. So the Democrats are just playing politics here. The Democrats know very well that President Trump, he's in every right based on the Constitution to do it. And Mitch McConnell not approving Obama's nominee in 2016, they were every right and based on the Constitution as well. So they get to have their say-so in it. See, See, the Democrats believe that they should have the say-so in everything, and everyone else has nothing to say about it unless they tell you that you can.
Very astute commentary on Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because I have that quote and I was going to ask you about it next. In 2016, she said, he's the president. That's his job until the day he leaves office. And I would like to point out, to prove it to you, on the last day that Obama was president of the United States, he didn't have his feet up on the desk smoking pot like he used to in college and pounding beers. He was partying like a maniac. He was signing so many pardons coming into his office, thanking everyone that donated money, taking people out of prison who had committed felonies, and on and on. Bill Clinton did the same thing. You know, the person who's pardoned less people thus far in his presidency in the last 30 or 40 years is Donald Trump. So on the last day of Obama's presidency, he wasn't cruising. He was working. And I heard a funny story last night on the news, you know, saying that the president should stop doing his job at the end, at three quarters of his term being over. He's in his fourth year now, is like saying in the basketball game in the NBA finals, team sits down and refuses to play in the fourth quarter because they want to know who's going to be their coach next year. That's the same thing. Finish the damn game.
Exactly.
Right? You're
exactly.
getting paid for four quarters, boys. Go back out there and make some baskets. And it
exactly.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about some of the people who have come out with the most god-awful, and I mean that literally, the most god-awful quotes about Trump doing his job. This is what your girlfriend, I'm saying that in a funny quote, Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez said the other night. She was on at a press conference with the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, and she says Democrats should buy time to stall a nomination from Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And how should they do that? Impeach him. Keep in mind, impeachment, as we know from the last impeachment a few months ago, is for high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, what this genius, and that's in quotes, and everybody knows I'm being facetious, Ocasio-Cortez says is a high crime and misdemeanor, is following the dictates of the Constitution in Article 2, which is the president nominates and the Senate advises and consents. In other words, that's his job. There's a vacancy. He's obligated to make a nomination and then hope the Senate says yes. And Ocasio-Cortez on stage with Chuck Schumer says, well, if we impeach him, that'll stall till after the election because he's going to lose. What do you make of that?
You know, I saw part of that press conference with AOC, and she also went on to say that we need to mobilize like never before in the streets. And that tells me that they're wanting to go out and be more violent, burn up more car lots, burn up more buildings, attack more federal buildings, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, and I love how, I mean, what you said was 100% correct. Impeachment is for high crimes and misdemeanors, right? That's what it's supposed to be for. But the Democrats threw all of that out the window. They impeached President Trump based on hearsay information and 100% fraudulent information. And the only reason why they were able to impeach him in the House is because they had the majority in the House. They had the votes. That's all it took. They had the votes. So they didn't impeach him for anything that was actual and factual. And now they're wanting to impeach President Trump because he's going along with the U.S. Constitution. That should be extremely disturbing to every single person in this country that the left is wanting to impeach the sitting president because he is doing his job. It is his duty to fill this seat based on the U.S. Constitution. And the reason why I say everyone should be very, very, very concerned is because the Democrats, if they get a Kamala Harris and Joe Biden ticket to get in the White House, they're going to do away with the U.S. Constitution. They're making it very clear that's what they want to do.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's terrifying. Our country is still here, Will, because of the Constitution. It's not
yes.
some antiquated document stuck in the drawer. It's what has kept this country together through the Civil War, through World Wars, through depressions, through horrible prejudices, and we know the history. But the Constitution was always there, and it was surrounded in a safe, and they want to open the safe up as if the Constitution isn't needed anymore. Let's talk about who else thinks that Trump nominating someone now is bad. CBS Evening News. Now, when I grew up, the CBS Evening News was Walter Cronkite. And, I mean, my father and I and mom used to watch the news, and this guy just spit out the facts. And you felt like, end of the news, you knew what had happened. The anchor now is a lady named Nora O'Donnell. And she just said, as she was kicking off the news, she talked about Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying and how tributes are pouring in for this liberal icon, and how the president says he wants his pick confirmed before Election Day on November 3rd. And then she said, tonight, the two women that are front runners, and how, if confirmed, they would cement conservative control for the nation's highest court for a generation. She was sounding the alarm that that would somehow be a bad thing. Well, from my perspective, a conservative interprets the Constitution religiously. They don't change it. They don't make laws. What do you think of of the CBS Evening News warning people, Will, somehow for generations, this would be an abomination?
Yeah. Well, you know what it is, right? And it all ties in together. Just think about it. For the past, month and a half maybe, the Democrats have been pushing for mail-in ballots. So just imagine if they flood the entire system with all these mail-in ballots, and I'm still saying this, a lot of these ballots that will probably show up, if you get a magnifying glass, you read the fine print, it will say made in China. But regardless of all that, once they fill the entire system with all of these ballots, and then they say, well, we can't say that President Trump won because we still have all of these mail-in ballots. You have social media tech giants right now saying that they're going to censor anybody who puts out there and say, look, President Trump won, come November 3rd or even November 4th. And what the Democrats had planned on doing, and some Democrats, they're acting all, like they're remorse right now, but a lot of Democrats are upset that RBG has passed. Why? Because after the election on November 3rd, they were going to say that we can't tell anyone, we can't determine who's the loser here. So we're going to have to go to Congress. Well, Congress, because they're so divided, they're going to be split and they're going to be arguing back and forth. And they said, well, you know what? We need to push this to the court system, to the Supreme Court. Now that RBG is gone, they don't have the upper hand. See, and they're upset about it. So President Trump, it is to President Trump's best interest, and it's to the interest of the country, for President Trump to replace her seat. And I say replace it before November 3rd, because if President Trump replaces it before November 3rd, the Democrats and all of them right now, they see that they don't have a pathway on cheating the system. And they are very afraid, because once President Trump puts another person on the Supreme Court, they cannot change this country. And I think because of that, and they see that, we're going to see so much more violence in the streets.
Well, let's talk about that, because I'm going to read you two quotes that you're not going to believe. I know you know them, but when I say you, I mean our audience. Everyone's very familiar with Don Lemon. He is a very radical nightly commentator on CNN. He hosts the news, but it's not really the news. It's Don Lemon telling you what to think about the news, and he makes no secret that he's a communist. Here's what he said yesterday. He said he's willing to, quote, blow up the entire system.
Yep.
So Democrats can retake all the levers of power in Washington, D.C. This guy has an audience in the millions, and he's saying on television, obviously, with his producer's approval, all the way up to the president of CNN, that they left him on the air to say, we have to be willing to blow up the entire system. Will Johnson, what does that mean?
You know, I was actually watching him when he said that, and that tells me he's putting the signal out to Antifa and BLM to go out and do what they've been doing for the past 4 months, burn it all down. It goes right along. And you know what? Don Lemon is not by himself on this. He's not the only one that's thinking this way. Look at Joe Biden's slogan. That tells you right there, in order to build back better, you have to tear it all down. You can't build back better something that's already good. And they want to tear it all down. When he said that, he sent out the signal to Antifa and BLM to go out to mobilize, just like AOC said, out into the streets and try to burn it all down. We're going to see a lot of violence. Now, I would love to be wrong, Barry. I mean, seriously. I would love to be wrong, but based on what we've seen, you've seen it too, we've all seen it, that they have demonstrated that they hate this country so much they are willing to burn it down no matter what. And on top of that, and in that same segment, Don Lemon said that we need to get rid of the Electoral College. What does that mean? A lot of people don't even know. You get rid of Electoral College, that means New York and California, the leftists would get to decide who is the president from here into eternity.
That's 100% correct, which is why the founders made it very clear. We do not have a democracy, and anyone who says this is a democracy does not understand political science. We are a republic.
Exactly.
And they wanted to produce a system where the minorities in the middle states had representation. And you're right. If California, which is in Mao land at this point, and New York, which I think idolizes Karl Marx more than George Washington, if those two states alone get to decide, doesn't matter, buddy. You're in Texas. You're a flyover state now, right? You're one of those red states that they don't land on and they don't look out the window because you're one of the, what did Hillary call you? You're a deplorable. Right?
Yeah.
You're the unwashed.
Yeah, if
masses.
Anything, all they'll do is they'll put more chemtrails over Texas.
Well, you know, we talked about Don Lemon at CNN. I've got a worse quote for you. Raza Aslan, who has been on CNN for years, he's renowned as a political commentator, as an Islamic scholar. Supposedly he left Islam. Then he came back to Islam. I don't know what he is now, but he's still quite popular, and he's on the network constantly. Here's his tweet. I'm going to read it to you word for word. Quote, if they even try to replace RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, we burn the entire effing thing down. But he said the word. And it sounds like fire truck with less letters. We burn the entire effing thing down. That tweet is still up as of right when we went on the air and has been retweeted all over the world. So here's a guy, a noted author, a noted commentator, a CNN hero, who tweets out, we're going to burn it all down. So you've got Don Lemon on the air saying it. You've got Raza Aslan on the air saying it. You've got AOC talking about it. I think this is organized anarchy. Will, what do you call it?
It is 100% anarchy. I mean, that's exactly what it is, and they're pushing people to be that. They're encouraging people to go out and do this. And then, you know what's really amazing, Barry, is that after they incite the violence, after they push people, convince people to go out and be violent, they then turn around and blame President Trump, because President Trump wants to stop the violence. President Trump is the law and order president, and they know this. And then when these people, I call them little children tyrants, you know, and they're out there acting this way, acting like little children, tyrants, and President Trump, and they're throwing rocks, and they're having conflicts with police officers. Well, the police officers have to do their job. So then they start doing the pepper spray and everything else, and they go, oh, my goodness, look at this. The bad police officer, they're using tear gas on peaceful protesters as buildings are burning, as vehicles are burning, but they're calling them peaceful protesters. You know what, Bear? We are living in a spiritual battle. We're seeing the spiritual battle, because there's only one explanation for people to look and see the actual truth and then turn around and believe the lie. Now, people have always believed lies in the past. We all get that. But to this extent, at what point does people realize, say, you know what, this is a bit too much? I know it's a little off topic, but just to give a prime example, Rayshard Brooks in Atlanta, he took the taser from the police officer, and you can all see it on the video. He turned around and tried to shoot the police officer. The police officer did his job, which everyone would know. If Rayshard Brooks was a white male, everyone said, well, you know what, he shouldn't have tried to shoot him with the taser. But because he's black, they use it and they twisted it. Everyone see the truth, but then they'd say it was racially related. Has nothing to do with it. It's because people's minds are being manipulated. And for him to go and put that tweet out there, and for Twitter not to remove it, Twitter, Facebook, Google, all of them hate President Trump, and they want the violence to take place, because if the violence is taking place, they can flip it around and try to say it's all because of President Trump. And this is why you need Joe Biden. I'm sorry. This is why you need Kamala Harris Biden ticket.
as she made her mistake the other day and called it the Harris ticket.
Well, you know
responses.
What? Joe Biden did the same thing. So is it actually a mistake?
Dude, he's not going to finish 4 years, according to 61% of Americans polled 2 weeks ago. Everyone can see he's in cognitive decline. He can't even read a teleprompter without stumbling over his words. Yesterday, he couldn't say the Pledge of Allegiance. My goodness, my kids, when they were in kindergarten, knew the Pledge of Allegiance. So did I. In my day, you didn't start school till you stood up, you saluted the flag, and the biggest honor was, Barry, would you like to come to the front of the class and lead the Pledge of Allegiance? Oh, my God, I thought I'd been elected, you know, king of the classroom. By the way, before we go to questions, I just want to point out, before someone calls Will Johnson a racist for what he said about Rayshard Brooks, Will is a black man in America who's proud of his black heritage, but is so truthful he can call it the way it is, rather than everything being about race. So well done. Very well done, Will Johnson. Let's go to some questions. We've got a zillion of them. We're not going to get to most of these, but here's an important one, and I'm really interested in your take. Is McConnell wrong to support Trump's nominee without even knowing who it might be? Take it.
No, not at all, because the past two, was it Kavanaugh and Gertrude, is that right?
Yeah, Gorsuch,
both
Gorsuch
of them,
and Kavanaugh. You're
Gorsuch,
correct.
Yeah, both of them have been, you know, for the most part, good picks for President Trump. So I think Mitch McConnell can trust President Trump's judgment and go along with him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that Trump has made it very clear by putting out the list he put out a couple weeks ago that these are all conservatives. These are strict constitutionalists. They're going to interpret the Constitution. They're not going to write laws from the bench. They're not going to be activist judges. They're going to be originalists. And the list that I looked at, they were all fantastic scholars. So anybody on that list is going to be fine. And then when Trump said the other day, well, it's going to be a woman, that narrowed it down to three from that list. It doesn't take you long to do background research on the three of them. And they're all fantastic jurists. So I agree with you. McConnell should be right to say whoever it is would be great. Let's talk about one other question here, and then we can move on because there's a zillion questions. How do you feel about this one? How is it socially healthy to turn a Supreme Court judge into a cultural and political icon, as the notorious RBG will always be? In other words, she's bigger than a Supreme Court justice. Now she's part of our social fabric. What do you make of that?
You know, I saw that, and I think it was completely wrong because we're talking about the same person that said that she was going to leave the country if President Trump won in 2016. So for them to do that and make her this celebrity when she should just be going, you know, ruling based on the law, they had a different agenda. And that's why I don't wish ill will on her, but I'm glad she's no longer there. And I'm really excited that President Trump has the opportunity to put someone in this position that's going to put America first, that's going to put, and I'm still hoping for it, that's going to put the unborn, the most innocent of us all, first.
You know, I should comment on the quote that she's going to leave. She said later it was a joke. she said something like, now it's time to move to New Zealand. But she did come out.
So did all these Hollywood stars. The Hollywood stars same thing. Oh, I'm leaving, and none of them left.
Yeah, well, it's what upset me, not is she wanted to move to New Zealand, is that the Supreme Court, if any of you remember, always sits in the front row for every presidential address at the State of the Union. They don't stand up, and they don't show partisanship. They're supposed to be
neutral. They don't clap or
anything. Exactly.
Right.
Why? They're in their robes. They're very solemn. They're very serious. And they cast the image of we are above politics. We are the blind justice. We just decide what's right and wrong. That's the problem I have with saying anything by a Supreme Court justice that could be interpreted as political. You know why?
Because
that shows bias. And don't you get worried,
you're absolutely
Ben,
right.
If a judge like that is going to decide your future? That bothers me.
I'm completely with you, but the Democrats have been very good in sneaking it in there. And deceiving the masses and to making the political system roll right into the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is one of three branches, right?
And the
Democrats wanted to take over that branch.
Well, let me ask you this. You've heard this story that's zooming around, that supposedly the dying words of RBG were, don't appoint my successor till after the election. Two questions for you. One, do you believe she actually said it? Now, this is a very religious old lady going to meet her maker. She knows she has terminal cancer. She knows she's about to die. Do you really think that happened? That's question one for you. And number two, if those were really her words, don't you think those words were inappropriate because those were a political statement? She literally was telling the world the president of the United States should not follow his job, should ignore his constitutional obligation, and she became a politician and ceased being a judge. What do you think?
You know, I don't know if she actually said it or not, and the reason why I wouldn't be surprised if she did say it is because of the statement that she made in 2016 saying that she's going to leave the country. Why even make that statement at all and just to turn around and say it was a joke? You know, so why even say it at all? Her saying this, possibly saying that, you know, she wants the next president to decide or to select, and that because it was her last dying wish, so what? I'm not being insensitive to the person, but so what? The U.S. Constitution does not say that we're going to grant your last dying wish. No. President Trump, it is his duty to select somebody. We need to go with that. And that's what President Trump should do.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, there was a poll taken the week before she died. Talk about a coincidence. And the overwhelming majority of Americans, I've got the number here, I'm looking it up as we're talking. Here it is. 67% of Americans said if there's a vacancy on the Supreme Court, the president should nominate and the Senate should hold hearings before the election. 67%. Just an FYI. And in 2016, on top of that, Justice Ginsburg said, absolutely, the president should nominate and the Senate should consider a nominee because the president serves 4 years and he's president until his last day. And now everybody on the other side has changed their mind. Haven't you noticed?
Yeah, not only have they changed their mind, Barry, but they're losing their mind right about now. Absolutely. But, yeah, you know, President Trump, it is his duty. It's his job. I would be upset if he did not fulfill his duty as the president of the United States and did what the Constitution says that he should do, and that is to fill that position. As Republicans in this country, we know what the Democrats are trying to do. Everyone sees it. Like I mentioned earlier, with the mail-in ballots, the way they're trying to, the way they do the ballot harvesting, the way they're trying to cheat the entire system, and they're trying to force all of us not to go vote. And they say, but you need to do it by mail. And a lot of people receiving these ballots in mail without even requesting them. You know, so it is extremely important for our sovereignty and our freedoms in this country that President Trump completes that. And for her making a statement, you know, prior to her death and saying that, it's not constitutional. So they just have to get over it.
I'm very bothered personally as someone who's been involved in this field for 40 years or so. I think it's disgusting when the what's the right word? The judges who are impartial become political hacks and get involved.
Yeah.
They shouldn't. They never should. It's not okay. Let me ask you a question here from one of our viewers. How much credibility do the polls have right now? Almost universally, Trump is losing in every single, and I mean this literally, every single state.
Just think about it. Who actually believed the polls? And does this not remind you of the polls in 2016? Do you remember that? All of the polls said, some polls had Hillary Clinton 95% chance win. Joe Biden, he can't even walk to the podium without running out of breath. Joe Biden, he can't even remember half the stuff he's talking about. He can't even remember where he is half the time. So we're supposed to, like, go with Joe Biden because he can't even come out the basement over President Trump, who's going all across the country showing how much stamina he has, showing how much he's fighting for the country, and Joe Biden low energy Joe Biden, sleepy Joe. I mean, they really, really think that we're so dumb that we're just going to vote for Biden. And you know what it is, Barry? They say vote blue no matter who, as long as it's not Trump. You know, it's crazy.
Well, yeah, sure. Well, that's the orange man bad theory that you're right. I mean, it's horrible, and it's true, and they could have put up SpongeBob SquarePants on the Democrat ticket, who was a hero of my children, in full disclosure. And, you know, he SpongeBob would have carried the Democrat convention in a landslide. He doesn't have to think. No different than Biden doesn't have to think. And they could have somebody read the prompter for him, you know, in big type, just like they're having Biden sort of read the teleprompter. The difference is he wouldn't doze off and he wouldn't say dumb stuff. In the couple minutes we have left, I should mention the leading contender for the court is Amy Coney Barrett, who is a religious lady, as you've requested, who is a conservative, who has a gaggle of children, including a special needs child. Everyone that knows her talks about her in saintly terms and talks about her as a constitutional scholar. That type of nominee, were it not to be the crazy train politics of today, would sail right through a nomination process in days, if not a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Any guess
yeah.
on how long it took them to confirm Ginsburg, a very, very left-wing?
43 days.
You're right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 42 days.
Sandra Day O'Connor, the first woman that for some reason nobody remembers, 33 days. John Paul Stevens, 19 days in 1975. So all this stuff that it's got to take months and months and months is completely and totally.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? President Trump, he said he's going to select someone, or he's going to make the announcement this Friday or either Saturday. And I would love to see Mitch McConnell and the Republicans Monday morning go ahead and confirm it, and then Tuesday take the vote and be through with it and move on. Seriously,
yep.
They should fast track this seat, because the Democrats fast tracked the impeachment against President Trump. Like, it was the first time ever in history, over fraudulent information, and they fast tracked it through the House to get it to the Senate. And on top of that, they're supposed to go to recess here not too long, but 2 weeks from now, right before the election, because all of them going to go home to their, you know, to their states and do their last campaigning and stuff. So they're going to take a recess. So they need to do this within the next 2 weeks. It needs to happen
now. I agree. Well, I wish we had another hour. We don't. Tell people your website.
You can find me at uniteamericafirst.com. Unite, because we have to unite this country first. uniteamericafirst.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on American Truth Project Radio. I want everyone that hasn't, please text the word truth on your cell phone to 88202, 88202. You will be subscribed to all of our shows. You'll get everything from Will Johnson when he's with us and all of our other special guests on radio and on video. You'll get everything, and it's always for free. We don't charge for any of our content. I want to thank everybody for joining us on ATP Report Radio today. If you enjoyed it, again, subscribe at our website, americantruthproject.org, or subscribe through our mobile text messaging service, sending the word truth to 88202. For American Truth Project, I'm Barry Nussbaum. Thank you for being with us today.
You were listening to ATP Radio. Make sure to text the word truth, T-R-U-T-H, to 88202 to be notified of our future radio shows.